Welcome to Health Literacy Out Loud. I'm Helen Osborne, president of Health Literacy Consulting, founder of Health Literacy Month, and author of the book Health Literacy from A to Z, Practical Ways to Communicate Your Health Message. I also produce and host this podcast series, Health Literacy Out Loud. Today, I'm talking with Brian Wallace, who is president and chief executive officer of the Coin Laundry Association and also executive director of the Laundry Cares Foundation. This mission of the foundation is to provide laundry services, books, and literacy resources to those in need. This includes their Laundry Literacy Coalition, which is an initiative to promote early childhood literacy through America's laundromats. I first heard of this initiative in an article or a press release that somehow came my way. I was certainly intrigued enough to go to their website and learn more. And after seeing that, I was even more impressed. I'm thinking that you might be interested in this topic too, and that's why I invited Brian to be a guest on Health Literacy Out Loud. Welcome.
Thank you, Helen. It's great to be here. Looking forward to our chat.
I am too. Now, laundry and literacy, that, excuse the expression, is a rather novel combination.
It's not exactly peanut butter and jelly, is it? It's not the thing that you expect to go together.
No, but I'm intrigued. Tell us all, how and why and when do these connections between laundry and literacy happen?
Well, Helen, it was a wonderful winding road that got us here, and it really began with myself and a number of our industry professionals in the laundromat business who we just all fortunate to have made our great living in this business that provides help to millions and millions of families every week by providing this essential service of clean clothes. And I know that my career, my livelihood for 27 years, I mean, it starts with that typically a low-income mom dropping a quarter into a washing machine, and got us thinking about what's the best way to respect and honor and support that relationship. So we formed a foundation with, to be honest, not really an idea of how to deliver that help or manifest that aspiration, but we just jumped in and found our way toward, well, how can we best support these communities that support us?
All right. You know what, Brian? This world is new to me. I go to a laundromat once in a while, but I'm not a regular there. We have our own machine at home. Can you kind of describe people who might be going to the laundromat every week, what would their lives be like? Do they come alone? Do they come with kids? What's going on?
Sure. Well, it's an essential chore. It's something that has to be done every week. And so when you go to the neighborhood laundromat, I've often said that the neighborhood laundromat is a mirror held up to the community. If you want to see the folks that sort of comprise your local community, go to the laundromat. You'll find them there. And yes, we tend to find lots of families. This is a chore, so more hands are better. Demographically, our customers tend to be lower income folks that from under-resourced neighborhoods. So there's lots of reasons why extended families and kids would be at the laundromat, not only as extra hands, but childcare is tough to come by. And so it's really one of those last sort of neighborhood meeting spaces where you might see your friends and neighbors on a regular basis.
Interesting. Another question. Who are the people who run the laundromats?
Entrepreneurs, right? These are mostly mom and pop entrepreneurs. It's a very fragmented business. In other words, there aren't major chains or franchises. The chances are the folks live near you and work near you and have invested in this small business. We have to do our clean clothes week in and week out, good times and in bad. So it's a very steady business, not a glamorous one, but one that has been a great opportunity for small entrepreneurs.
Now, when I do go to the laundromat, I don't have a lot to do with the person running the place. I kind of go in and do my thing. You're now making a connection where it's a much stronger bond between the two, right? Tell us about this initiative that you do.
Sure. Well, it really began with what I came to call free laundry days, which was back to that notion of how do I give back? How do I support the families that have supported our business? And we started doing, call it a customer appreciation event, free laundry, free soap, food. I called it a community hug. Can we just invite everyone in to bring their clothes in? And once we came across the folks at Too Small to Fail in their public awareness campaign behind early childhood learning and development.
That's an organization, Too Small to Fail?
Too Small to Fail is an initiative of the Clinton Foundation.
Oh, okay.
And they do amazing work. And as I was in one of these moments of sort of aspirational connection to this foundation we started without a real mission, luckily I got a cold call from them. And they said, are we nuts? Or wouldn't the neighborhood laundromat be a great place to connect to the children and families that need the most help? In this particular case, when it comes to early childhood development and literacy. So those free laundry days became free laundry and literacy days, where we began to distribute books and invite the local librarians to come read or other literacy advocates. And sort of our community hug got wider and wider and went from free laundry service and free soap to books and referrals to other ways that those families who 60% of those kids are not prepared for kindergarten. And that is such an important indicator of future educational attainment and the ability to try to break free of the intergenerational poverty that can be present in these neighborhoods. I just felt that we not only had an opportunity to help, we had an obligation to help. And so that led to not just these events, but installing mini libraries. We call them Family Read, Play, Learn Centers that can provide that assistance every single day. So it's really been a great combination, as you said earlier, an odd combination, but one that has proven very effective.
Can you tell us a story? Like, what would it be like for a person to see, to be there? You have this little corner, this little reading corner, right? You might have a librarian there. I mean, what's it like? Make it vivid for us.
Sure. So laundry is a chore.
Yeah.
Laundry is a drudgery. As much as I love my industry, I'm never going to convince people to get excited about going to the laundromat.
Okay.
It's just not going to happen. But what I've observed myself many times is not only kids walking in the front door, you know, with a sour expression, like, oh boy, here we go at the laundromat again, to lighting up and making a beeline for those table and chairs, for that bookshelf, from that little couch where we have hand puppets and magnet tiles and magnet letters and, of course, as I said, books. And all of a sudden, it's just like a fish to water, just a natural connection. And then often the parents might first kind of look at it, is this free?
Yeah.
Is this, should I chase my kids out of there? And so we just need to encourage folks to take advantage of it. And the research that we've done around that shows that simply making that space available can trigger lots and lots of literacy interactions that are positive. And then as we started to, we call it activation, reaching out to a local library system or a local literacy organization, invite them to come in and do a story time or do a STEM activity or do something that's, you know, sort of upcycle that downtime in the laundromat and make it more impactful. And really connecting kids that otherwise may not have access to books or may not have access to that type of connection.
That is so neat. And when you're at the laundromat doing a load or two or three of laundry, you're there for a couple of hours. So you really have the time.
You're absolutely right. Some people ask me, why laundromats? Why would this work? And number one, it's proximity to need, meaning that often the families that we're seeing are the families with their kids that could use the most help. Long dwell times, that's what the retailer industry would call it. You know, you're there for 2 hours as sort of a captive audience, and you can either watch the socks tumble, read your phone. Why not read to your kids or engage in literacy activities or learn about other resources that are available in the neighborhood? The other component is the sort of the recurring nature of the visit. We're all creatures of habit. So if I take my kids and my clothes in every Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, you know, you better believe I'll be there next Thursday and the Thursday after that and the Thursday after that. And so as we've been able to kind of have these regular classes or reading times or story times, we found that people have adjusted their schedules to meet, well, I'm going to do my laundry when the librarian is there. I'm going to do my laundry when the STEM teacher is there. And so it sort of falls into that routine of how do we take this otherwise downtime or mundane right. time, and how do we make it something special? And folks have just reacted so positively, the business owners, of course, the parents and their kids, and the local literacy advocates and library systems have all just really gotten excited about this, and we're ready to scale.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. I just recently saw a press release of one of the new, a new program that's going on at one of your laundromats, and they used a phrase in that article I just loved, spinning laundry into learning. I just thought, that's beautiful.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, who would have ever thought? I mean, you know, we're not in an exciting business. We provide a very important service,
yeah.
but this is what gets people excited. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with another phrase called doing well by doing good. So believe me, I've just been blown away by how many in our industry have embraced this, and just on the very top level of I want to help kids. But it's also good for business. Not every laundromat is doing this. Not every laundromat has this stellar reputation of being a place to convene people. And
yeah.
so by doing these types of programs and connecting with the community, it's really part of a larger trend in business of corporate social responsibility. And who would have thought it could happen at the neighborhood laundromat?
Wow. It's fabulous. Thank you. Now, our listeners, I welcome all the laundromat folks who want to listen. Come on in and join us in health literacy. But really, our listeners tend to be people somehow involved in healthcare, somehow involved mm-hmm. in delivering health messages. What can we learn from your experience about communicating our message more clearly?
There's a few things that come to mind, Helen. One is meeting families where they are. It's great to hold a class at the clinic or invite folks to the doctor's office and there's lots of awesome programs that use those venues. But when you think about the day-to-day life of that low-income mom and dad with childcare options being limited and maybe transportation being a challenge or working multiple jobs, doesn't it make sense to try to find other places in the community where they already are, where they're spending
right.
time, and so we can sort of make that path toward getting help a little bit easier?
In the healthcare world, I don't know any healthcare people, but it would be okay if we go to the local laundromat and say, you know, we've got an idea here. Could maybe we work together? Do you think that might work, that we could initiate it too?
Why not, Helen? I mean, I can think of a few examples just off the top of my head. I know we had a member in suburban Chicago who would have regular health screenings, blood pressure
really?
Screenings at the laundromat. And of course, the local organization was thrilled to have so many families they could connect with. I'm thinking of another laundromat in the Carolinas who was approached by a local breast cancer awareness organization, hey, can we set up a table on Saturday at the laundromat? And lo and behold, they had more signups, more connections with more people they're trying to reach at the laundromat than anywhere else. So
that
it's sort of,
you know,
fishing where the fish are.
That reminds me, too, in our health literacy world, there's a lot of initiatives I hear about it take place at barbershops and hair salons
mm-hmm.
and, you know, mm-hmm. churches and places people go. Let's add laundromats to that list for sure.
Please, absolutely.
Any other recommendations or lessons learned you'd like to share with those of us specifically communicating health messages?
Well, I think you have to also be willing to take a risk, right? This was a pretty unorthodox idea that
sure
we
was, yeah.
came up with. And you can imagine a lot of the folks that we ran this by said, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure that would work? And we said, no, we don't know if it's going to work, but it's worth trying.
You know, I like your attitude, yeah.
You know, the potential to have an impact on these kids' lives, again, I think it's an imperative. I think we're duty-bound to try whatever it takes to make those connections. And there's no more worn out cliche than thinking outside the box, but we need to think outside the doctor's office. We need to think outside the library. We need to think outside of some of these conventional venues and think about how can we connect with the people that need the most help where they are.
That's great. Another lesson that I can discover, and the way I discovered you was through a press release or an article, somehow getting the attention of the local media. Is that something you go out looking for, or does it come to you because this is such an unusual connection, or both?
Well, I would say that we've been blessed with a lot of very positive media coverage, and I think initially it's just that sort of novelty factor or the gimmick. It just sounds like something strange. But I think from there, the light bulb goes off, and whether it's a correspondent or reporter or other community members that say, well, you know what, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What a great place to put books into the hands of kids. What a great place to have story times and support that literacy and create a culture that's very supportive of that. So the other venues that you mentioned, barbershops and nail salons, grocery stores, WIC clinics, you know, the list goes on. These are all places where people gather for what in today's world is an extended period of time. And how can we connect? How can we provide more assistance? And I wouldn't underestimate just the simple demonstration of care. That family walking in, that mom walking in, looking at that bookshelf, an anecdote pops to mind or a comment pops to mind. We did a installation of one of our Family Read Learn spaces in a laundromat in New Orleans, a very difficult neighborhood. And one of the moms came up to us and said, you know, having this space available makes me feel like my kids count.
Oh, like her kids count. Wow, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So the demonstration of care is enough. And then if you can build on that by having the regular story times and putting books in the hands of kids who, again, statistically do not have books in the home environment, these are things that the researchers tell us can really change that trajectory in a positive way and help those kids reach the literacy levels that are going to set them up for the rest of their lives.
And that's what we all want to accomplish. Brian, I think that this is fantastic. I continue being your huge fan and I hope champion, and I hope that this podcast can help spread the word too. Thank you for all you're doing and also putting it into context about what we in healthcare can be doing together. I often say that health literacy is bigger than any one person or profession or program. Indeed, this is an example of how we can all work together to make things better. Thank you so much for being a guest on Health Literacy Out Loud.
Well, thank you, Helen. Appreciate your interest. And let's all think about ways that we can have an impact on our community.
Great. As we just heard from Brian Wallace, it's important to meet people where they are. What an effective way to communicate all of our messages. But doing this isn't always easy. For help clearly communicating your health message, please take a look at my book, Health Literacy from A to Z. You might be especially interested in chapter 42 that looks at the power of creative, out-of-the-box programs and ideas. Feel free to also explore my website, healthliteracy.com, or contact me directly at helen@healthliteracy.com. Health Literacy Out Loud podcasts come out every few weeks. You can get all the episodes automatically for free at healthliteracyoutloud.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, Stitcher, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Please help spread the word about Health Literacy Out Loud. Together, let's tell the whole world why health literacy matters. Until next time, I'm Helen Osborne.